Yet I know you want to give more. You want to give more. And Father, I'm reminded that the reason you want to give us more is so we can give more away, so we can touch the people around us in a greater way. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And thank you for revealing to each person the value that they are to you and that they are to those of us around them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you could take your Bible and open up to two different passages this morning, and I truly believe that I have the shortest sermon I will ever do this morning. I honestly do. And somebody back there said amen a little too loud.
I love my mom.
Yeah, you said that out loud. this time. Yeah. How much did you pay her to say it? So. Yeah. Wow. Love you too. Praise God. How many of you know what a yawn is? A yawn is a silent scream for coffee. I like that. So, did I tell you the two passages of Scripture to open up to? I just said you get to open to two, but I didn't tell you which ones yet. Yeah, somebody interrupted me. Ephesians chapter 4, and go ahead and put a marker there. Ephesians chapter 4, put a marker there, and then Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and some of you might have... For weeks, I handed out a sheet of paper that had a different translation on it. And some of you might still have that. If you do, it'll come in handy this morning because we're going to look at Romans chapter 15 in a different translation. I'm going to read it out of that. But get open to those two passages, Ephesians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 15. Back in Easter, for those of you that remember, for those of you that were here, you'll remember that I kind of knew I was starting a series, and I didn't know how good it was going to be for me personally. It's really been a rich series for me personally, and I believe it's a rich teaching for our church and what God has for us. But the title of that Sunday morning message on Easter Sunday was Into the Mess. Into the Mess. And Jeff Johnson built me a trough. You know, it was about 12 foot wide, 12 foot long, about 2.5 foot wide or so. And we filled it up with dirt and manure. And then I asked for a volunteer, and Lisa Parsons was my volunteer. And it's Easter Sunday, and people are dressed looking sharp and all that. And she comes up here, and she takes off her shoes, and she walks through that mess. You know, and then people to wash her feet. And the message was, Jesus left heaven and came to the mess of this world. Not only did he leave heaven and come into the mess of earth, but then he left earth and went to hell. And that's a mess as well. Amen? And then the thing that's been running through me is this. How many of us will go into the mess? How many of us will go into the mess that goes on in this world and that goes on in the lives of people around us from time to time? And how many of you know sometimes we end up in a mess? No making of our own, but we just end up in a mess. We go through something that's hard. Aaron, if I may, with your dad. And just let me use that term, mess. It was hard. It was very hard to go through that. You know, and it lasted for months. You know, how many of us are willing to get into the middle of trials and struggles and wrestling matches and things that are painful and hard in individuals' lives, and stay there with them? Go into the mess, you know, to go into the mess. And as I think about that, this verse of Scripture that I'm going to read out of Romans chapter 15, out of the Passion Translation, and I really like it because part of my challenge to you, part of my challenge to me, is are we going to grow up and be mature believers? You know, I think, and I like it when the scripture gives us definitions, you know, and gives us a picture of what mature believers are. And I'm pretty sure everybody in here would like to say, well, Pastor, I am a mature believer. Okay, praise God. Now we'll look at the scripture. And then, you know, how many of you know the scripture is a mirror? The scripture is a mirror. You can look in the word and you can read about, oh, this is what a believer looks like. This is what a mature believer looks like. And then you can look in there and you can go and see, do I line up with that or don't I line up with that? He who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he who looks into the word of God, it'll show us what we're like. Anybody in here besides me ever been reading the Bible and went, ow, oh, ugh, I didn't, oh man, I don't like where I am there. Amen. Come on now, turn and look at somebody and say, okay, he's going to talk to me today. Oh, you guys were pretty quiet on that, man. You know, well, hallelujah. All right, Romans chapter 15, verse 1. This is out of the Passion Translation. And this translation comes from the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic. For those that does, is it just a, you know, is it just a paraphrase or is it a translation? It's a translation from those three sources. Listen to this. Now, those who are mature in the faith can easily be recognized. For they don't live to please themselves, but have learned to patiently embrace others in their immaturity. Our goal must be to empower others to do what is right and good for them, and to bring them into spiritual maturity. I just like that. I like that first part of that a lot. I'm going to read it again. Now, those who are mature in their faith can easily be recognized. For they don't live to please themselves, but have learned to patiently embrace others in their immaturity. You know, we're so blessed. We're so blessed. We got Elsie Jane and we got Isaiah here. And you know what I'm learning to do all of a sudden? You know, I realized it was coming from last year, and this is no complaint. And David and Breezy know it's no complaint. But you know what I'm learning to do? I am now learning to walk through my living room and step over the toys. Because when you have young children in, boom, stuff. Amen? And you know what? They're supposed to be that way. They're supposed to be that way. That's how things work. Now, if they're 23, 24, 25, and I'm still having to do that, we got a problem. You know, but right now, it's okay. And how many of you know sometimes when you're working with people and they're young spiritually, there might be some stuff where you just go, my goodness, that's awful messy. Well, yeah, it is. But as mature believers, we're willing to get right there with them, wrap an arm around them, and walk through our faith, walk through this Christian walk with them. Amen? You know, that's just part of what we do. Amen? How many of you know, I've seen people. I know people who, they don't have any children. And you bring children into their home, guess what? Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. You bring young children into their home, and they can't get past the loud. They can't get past the noise. They can't get past the chaos. They can't get past the stuff they're not used to. Well, I tell you what, when we're mature believers and we're working with other people, we need to be able to get past some stuff. Amen? We just need to be able to still put our arm around that person and just love on them, and give them time and room to grow. Amen? That's what mature believers do. That's what they do. We don't get all frustrated. Pick these stinking toys up. What's the matter with you? We don't do that. No, we just step over them. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm thankful for all the people that just put an arm around me and let me grow. I am so thankful for Pastor Bill Savory. Wow, I walked into his church pretty messed up. I was born again, but I was young. And Pastor Bill just put his arm around me and walked with me and walked with me. Our house caught on fire and chimney fire, and we had to move out for a while. And Pastor Bill, oh, come on, move in with us. And Diana and I and Heather, and was Caleb around then? Caleb was around. This just brought the four of us into their home for what? 6 months? 4 months? 5 months? Something like that. And that's somebody. When they put their arm around someone young and walk through the mess with them. Now see, when I say, are we willing to go into the mess? I don't mean, oh, I step a toe in and I come back out. No, no, no. I'm talking about, I'm in here for the long haul. I'm in here to walk all the way through this trench if that's what it takes with you. I'm in here till we'll get to the other end of this thing. I'm willing to go into the mess with you. How many of you, you're willing to go into the mess? You're willing to go into the mess with people. And it won't always be fun. And how many of you know sometimes it will be messy? And sometimes they might get mad at you. You ever try to help a young person grow? You ever try to help a young child clean up their room? They might not always like it. How many of you know sometimes people are not going to like it when you're helping them? Uh-huh. Amen. So let me go back and just read that again. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. David's saying that, and I'm not even paying him. Woohoo! Just give me five. I'm so glad you are here. Blessed. He and I are going to have some rich conversations throughout this year. I guarantee you, this summertime. So, amen. Amen. Now, those who are mature in their faith can be easily recognized. For they don't live to please themselves, but have learned. Everybody say learned. They don't live to please themselves, but have learned to patiently embrace others in their immaturity. I like that. Our goal must be to empower others to do what is right and good for them, and to bring them into spiritual maturity. Listen to this. For not even the most powerful one of all, the Anointed One, lived to please himself. Amen. How many of us know Jesus didn't live to please himself? Amen. He lived to please the Father, and he lived to make provision for us so that we could have life and life more abundantly. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, you got your Bibles open to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. You got a marker there? Keep a marker there. Hallelujah. Last Monday night, I got to go with Brian Beam up to another Chariots of Life house, Jennifer up towards Deadwood, and had a Bible study. And Brian does a great job at creating thought and conversation, and it was just a rich conversation. And I think we ended up in these verses of Scripture there in Ephesians, Brian, and it sparked a question for me. It sparked a question for me. So Ephesians chapter 4, just pick up at verse 11. I turn here often. This is all still part of the same theme. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? Why did God put those ministry gifts, those five ministry gifts, into the body of Christ? There's a reason he did. Oh, I know why he did it. He did it so they could do the ministry. They have their ministry, but that's just a small part of it. And I guess if people think the pastor and the prophet and the evangelist and the teacher, they're supposed to do all the ministry, everybody go, That's not the answer. Look at this. He gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? Why did he give these gifts to the body of Christ? For the equipping of the saints. You know what my job is? To give you equipment. Do you know what you need to do? You need to take it. You need to take that equipment. And honestly, you know what the most common equipment is that I will give you? The Word of God. The truth. That's the most common equipment I will give to you is the truth. And if you choose not to take it, then how do I equip you? Amen. And do you know what? You need your equipment. You need to be equipped. Why? So you can do your job. How many of you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Excuse me, sorry guys. Can somebody get me a glass of water or something? My throat is tickly. Thank you, my love. Thank you, David. Yeah. Diana, I saw her pick that up and hand it to David, okay, you guys? All right. For the equipping of the saints. Just look at verse 12 with some slowness in this verse. For the equipping of the saints. For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. Who's supposed to be doing the work of the ministry? Say saints. Say saints again. Turn and look at somebody and say, I'm a saint. Come on, Scott, look at your wife and say, I'm a saint. Amen. Because, you know, there's so many things, and we can laugh about this and have some fun with it, and I think that's right, and I think that's fine. But how many of you know, you ever hear people say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace? And their belief and their confession about themselves is they're just an old sinner. And I've run across this a lot with people over the years where folks will go, I'm not a saint. I'm not a saint. I'm not a saint. Well, wait a second then. Who am I supposed to be equipping? Old sinners or saints? Saints. Part of what it is to grab a hold of the truth. The truth is when you get born again and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a saint. Amen? Now, you might not feel like it. You might not always act like it. You might not always look like it. But you are a saint. And one of the first things we have to do is start to just grab a hold of the truth. You know, it's like a t-shirt, and we're going to have them printed. And while we're at this, I just want to say thank you to somebody. I have no idea who. They wanted to remain anonymous. But with the last t-shirts that we did, the ones that we're doing right now, Your Life Matters, somebody came along and said, you know what, I just want to buy all those t-shirts for the church. So now, every time you help purchase one of those, that money for that t-shirt goes 100% towards the mission trip. Amen. So whoever did that, thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. God sees it. God knows it. Amen. So, but we got another t-shirt coming out here after a little bit, and it's, I am who I am says I am. I am. I am who God says I am. Who does God say you are? You're a saint. That's one of your descriptions for the equipping of the saints. So turn and look at somebody and say, I'm getting equipped. Amen. When I first met my wife one time, she was digging in her purse, and she could have gone on, what's that show, that game show where you got to have stuff? Let's Make a Deal. She'd have won. Because he could have go, okay, you got this in your purse, and she could have brought it out. And I just looked at her and said, wow, she's equipped. My baby is equipped, man. She is. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be equipped. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Okay? Now notice the next part. For the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, who's the body of Christ? You and me. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be edifying each other. You know what one of the major things is? One of the number one things is that we have to edify other people with? Our words. Our words. And I want to tell you what. You matter. You matter. You're more important than the devil would have you believe. You matter. Your life matters. You're vital. Turn and look at somebody and say, you're vital. You matter. You matter. I just want to ask you a question. How many of you, and you walked in today and you looked at the chairs, thought, what's going on? How many just looked out of place? It just looked wrong. Chairs just missing. How about on the last song? What happened on the last song? Great. Somebody help me out. Sherry, help me out. Mm-hmm. Nick, let me ask you a question. Did it affect worship?
No.
How many of you would honestly raise a hand and say, yeah, I wondered what was going on? So it affected worship. It affected worship. Now, the worship team, I told them, keep singing no matter what. Keep singing no matter what. But I know it affected worship. Teresa, did you have all the words right? How many of you, did anybody want to look back at the sound booth and say, why do you got the wrong songs, words up there? Anybody? It's okay if you did, you guys. It's okay. This is a place where we can go be. Heather. Would you all go back? I know. You're over there messing with me again. But we did that on purpose. Just, you know what? Those chairs just didn't feel like they were important. Yeah, something's missing. Something wasn't working right. With the sound system, I was thinking about just going up, walking up while they were singing and just taking people's mics. Just take their mic from them, but I found a different way to do it. Or take the cord to the piano. That's all you got to do is take the cord away from the piano, and the piano wouldn't be able to play through the system. But we noticed. The point is, we noticed, and it made a difference. Did you notice when saints are not around that it makes a difference? So let me keep going here. You guys all doing all right still? Of course you are. All right. And he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Can I ask you a question? How important do you think the unity of the faith is? Do you play a part in us all coming to the unity of the faith? Amen. How many of you think you want to be in the unity of the faith? How many of you know we'll never get into the unity of the faith apart from the Word of God? We won't. If you want to be in the unity of the faith, be in line with the Word of God. Amen. One of the best ways for us to get into the unity of the faith is simply to submit to the Word of God. And just, that's what we share with each other. We just start sharing the Word of God with each other. We start speaking the Word of God to each other. I'll never forget one time Joan Dunnick, I walked into her house, and the first thing I did when I walked in the door was I just started quoting scripture to her. And she went, wow, thank you. It is so great to have somebody just walk in my house and just quote the Word of God to me. Thank you. You want to build somebody up? You want to edify them? Tell them who they are in Christ. Tell them the truth about who they are. Tell them that they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Tell them they can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened them. Tell them that they're a head and not a tail, above and not beneath. Tell them they're more than a conqueror. Tell them their sins are washed away and throw as far as the east is from the west. Amen? Just be telling people stuff like that. Just be telling people the truth. Edify them. Build them up. Encourage them in the Word of God. In the truth. Edify them. Because you know what? We all know this. We have enough coming against us to beat us down. All right. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. A lot of Bibles say perfect, but mature is better. To a mature man, to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we, everybody say we. Okay, we. That, you know, and I like back over there in verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. And then here it says that we should no longer be tossed to and fro. Now, here's my question. Do you think that you play a part, you have a role in we all coming to the maturity? You have a very significant role in the growth of we as a corporate body. Just think about that. You play a significant role in we as a corporate body coming to the fullness, to the unity of Christ. And not only that, you play a significant role in we no longer being children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine and the trickery of the enemy. How significant are you? How important are you? How much do you matter? Why don't you just go ahead and just sit there? I think it's sinking in. I think it's penetrating our hearts and our minds. Wow, I do matter. I make a difference. I make a difference in the life and the growth and the maturity and the wisdom of my church. I matter. If I don't show up, wow, something's missing. Amen. Hallelujah. Ken, would you please stand up? This chair decided he doesn't want to work anymore. Don't bother. Don't bother. I will keep taking chairs. Sorry. He doesn't want to work either. I'll take them all, man. I'll take them all. Thank you. It's kind of frustrating, isn't it? And now you don't know what to do, do you? Would you like a chair? Okay. Maybe you can find one that'll stay put. Maybe you can find one that won't leave on you. See, I can have fun with this point, too. Oh, I'm tempted. How many of you know that we are, you and I, we are living sacrifices? Amen? How many times do believers ever just feel like not showing up? Amen? But it's going to affect somebody, isn't it? You know, I think, could you imagine? Here you go, Ken. Thank you, sir. Could you imagine if the 2x4s in the wall just decided to leave? You know, the windows just decided, I don't want to be here anymore. And they're gone. Do you know how significant you are to how much you matter? Okay, I have to apologize. I'm going to go to one more verse of scripture and then we're going to stop. But what I have to apologize for is I honestly thought I would minister for 15 minutes today and be done. Go with me to John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6:63. I really did, but wow. John 6:63. And I'm skipping stuff and I'm leaving stuff out. Messed with Ken. Took his chair. How many of you know Ken sits in that same spot every Sunday? We just took his chair. All right, John 6:63. I want to let you see this in a little different angle and look at it differently, thinking about not being the recipient, but think about being the one that is the giver. In John 6:63, if the Spirit, it is the Spirit who gives life, for the flesh profits nothing. Now notice, this is in red, Jesus is talking, and he says this, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. How many of you in here have ever, when you went to your Bible and you heard what Jesus had to say to you, just went, this is spirit and this is life to me. And I take it in. Did you keep a marker in Ephesians? How many of you know in Ephesians 4:29, we get to speak words of life and we get to edification? You know what? I'd like, in the equipping of the saints, this is what I want to bring this to an end with here this morning. That when I speak to somebody, that when you speak to somebody, that when you, as one of the saints of Living Outreach Church, to speak, you speak to somebody, the words that you say are spirit and they are life. Amen. Are we not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the face of the earth today? We are, right? Amen. How about if we start to walk around with the understanding and the realization that I have words to speak that are inspired by the Holy Spirit and they're full of life for the hearer. And what does that speaking do? What does that life do? Edifies. And I want the body that I'm a part of to come to full stature. I want the body that I'm a part of to come to maturity. I want the body that I am a part of to no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine and the trickery of men. And I play a part. Amen? Turn and look at someone and say, I have a vital role. Go ahead and look at somebody else and say, I have a vital role. And you know what? You know what? You know what? The devil will try to get you to doubt that. Leslie, can I use you as an example? Sure. She was here on Wednesday night, and we were talking about qualifying and stuff. And the enemy, and we can do this again this morning, but Leslie just shared how the enemy, you know, she's young in her faith. She's been at this, are we a year now? Getting around a year right now? Just growing. And she said that she has thoughts run through her head. You don't know this. You don't know what the Bible says. You don't understand it. You don't get it. You're not good enough. Don't bother. Why bother? Don't waste your time trying to understand that. It's complicated, right? You know, just not good enough. And then I had everybody who was here on that Wednesday night raise their hand and say if they had had thoughts like that run through their heads. Can we do that this morning? How many of you in here have had the thought run through your head, don't bother, you're not good enough, you don't matter? Well, guess what's happening? Every hand is going up. Every hand is going up. And it was just so amazing. You know, watching Leslie's face when she's like, what? You all had the same thoughts? You know, because somebody comes into church and they see mature believers and they think, well, they've just always been like that. No, we have not. We were messed up. But the enemy would try to tell you, you don't matter. You won't, nobody will notice if you're gone. You know what? That's a lie. That's a lie. I promise you people will notice. I guarantee you. They'll notice, amen? So what's our takeaway today? Here's our takeaway today. Say it. Go ahead. Who said that? Oh, I thought somebody was saying. Here's our takeaway today. I matter. I play a vital part. This fellowship, to come to its fullness, to come to its maturity, needs me. Amen? Needs me. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. How many of you glad you came today? How many of you know you matter? Your life matters. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God.